Genesis chapter 42, and take a reading from verse 29. Genesis chapter 42, read verse 29 down to verse 38. The word of God says, "And they came on to Jacob their father, on to the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell to them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, the sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every one's bundle of money was restored in money in a sack. And when they both and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing. Certainly it is a hard passage to choose where to read from, because really it's the whole passage and much more that we are covering today. But we pray that God will give us help, and you pray that God will help you to pay attention even to the service. I know tiredness sets in, and maybe if you need the back door open, that's fine. Let a bit of air flow in, that is fine as well. But we can do that. And we'll pray God will give us help. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for our study in the life of Joseph. We thank thee for the lessons that we have learned practically. But above all, we thank thee the lessons we have learned spiritually. And we pray again, as thou dost come and search our hearts, Lord, see if there be any wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Give me help to bring forth thy word. Give everyone help and patience, Lord, to listen to it. And Father, we pray that we will know help from heaven this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. When Joseph's brothers came into Egypt and stood before him, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 42, verse 8, that Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. As the conversation developed, Joseph picked up certain statements that confirmed to him that after 20 years, his father and his younger brother was still alive. Furthermore, it proved that the brothers had lied concerning Joseph, for they said to Joseph, the lord of the land, that one of their brothers is not, meaning one of our brothers is dead. Of course, that was not true, as you know the story, as we've read and we've discussed this already. Unknown to them, the lord of the land, whose presence therein, and the man they are speaking to is in fact Joseph, that one who they claim is not, that one whom they say is dead. And the reason being, because 20 years before, they sold him as a slave. And so since the brothers don't know they're actually speaking to Joseph, they think that for the past 20 years, their lies will go unchecked and they can continue in their deceptive ways. However, as Joseph speaks to them, he says to them that their brother will not be free except they come and bring Benjamin. this do and live, for I fear God. When Joseph said those words, I fear God, the brothers then heard the name of God. The name of God is a name of honor. The name of God is one, or the name stands for the person. And because God is holy, his name is holy. And his name is holy because God's nature is holy. And when God's name was mentioned, it was a name of honor, a name of worthiness, and a name of great preeminence. And so it exposed the brother's sin when Joseph said, I fear God, because it showed them by their lives that they did not fear God. Rather, they dishonored God by their words and by their living. That's why in prison, without any mention of Joseph, and remember, Joseph's name didn't even come up. They begin to speak one another about their guilt concerning Joseph. And in verses 21 and 22, they begin to have this conversation about Joseph. And they say, we are guilty concerning our brother. And they begin to state all that happened regarding Joseph. God was bringing to light their hidden guilt and their offense against Joseph. And in order to prove their confession was genuine, that we are guilty concerning our brother, Joseph examines their lives in three areas. One, profit, which we looked at last time. Are they still greedy men? Do they still covet after money because they sold Joseph for money? Presentation. Are they still deceitful men? Because clearly they have lived a lie. And then pride. Are they still self-centered men? Because all they cared about was themselves. They did not care about Joseph. And so to prove this, Joseph keeps Simeon in prison. And then he fills his brethren's sack with corn, with money unknown to them, and then sends them back home. And Joseph says, that ye will not see my face, except your younger brother be with you. In other words, Joseph the sovereign of the land said, if you do not obey my words and fail to come with Benjamin, if you fail to obey my sovereign law, you will be viewed, you will be treated in my sight as guilty, unaccepted. You will not enter my presence. You will not partake of my provisions, and you will perish in the famine throughout the land. But you obey my words. You come with Benjamin. You will be accepted. You will partake of the good things of the land. You will enjoy my presence, enjoy my provisions, and you will live in the famine. And that there, men and women, is a clear gospel message that God has given us one way whereby we must find acceptance. In God's sovereign law, he has taught us to come by his beloved Son, and we will find acceptance with him. But obey his will, disobey his sovereign command, refuse what he says, then we will be unaccepted. We will not enjoy the good things he has, and we will perish for our sin. Because he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. God will only pardon and forgive sinners, saving them from his eternal wrath that awaits them because of their sin. As sinners obey Christ's word, as they ask him for pardon, as they come by the way he has ordained through his beloved Son, they will find life everlasting. And that's the whole scene here before Joseph's brothers, Joseph's brethren. There is a famine in the land. Death is facing their brethren, and they have no hope except in Joseph. But Joseph says to them, for you to get these provisions, You must come. You must bring Benjamin. You bring Benjamin, and I will bless you, and you will live in this famine. But you reject my word. Don't come with Benjamin, and you will face rejection and perish in the famine. And so Joseph examined their confession regarding prophet. But notice secondly, Joseph examines their confession regarding presentation. You see, in hearing about the brothers' confession, as Joseph listens in, it's clear that their father has been lied to about Joseph's death. Now again, remember, Joseph didn't know any of this. He's finding this out as he listens to their confession. Remember, 20 years before, the brothers, they presented the news of Joseph, or the news of Joseph's absence, to their father. We learn of that in Genesis 37, verse 31 to 33. Whenever they sold Joseph, they got Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And then they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, "This we have found." Now notice the lie. Notice the presentation. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. They know fine rightly it is their brother's coat. But they're asking their father, "Is this your son's coat?" And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat." And they let their father think the worst. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. You see, their presentation of what took place that day was deceptive. Their words were full of lies. The brothers wanted their father to conclude that Joseph was killed by a wild beast. And so for 20 years, they've lived in this deceit. Unknown to Joseph, for 20 years, his father had been lied to, and his father had been given a different presentation of the offence, a different story of what actually took place. But what is interesting to note, you remember Joseph was given a coat of many colours by his father, a coat of love, a coat of honour, a coat of trustworthiness. Jacob loved Joseph. It's interesting to note that none of these brothers were wearing the coat that Joseph had. His father did not clean it and give it to one of the brothers. He didn't transfer the coat of many colors. Why? Because his father, or their father, viewed these men as dishonorable men. He viewed them as men who were untrustworthy. The brothers have even said themselves, their younger son is at home. And so Jacob did not trust them. Joseph will now examine their confession as they leave his presence by how they return. By their return, or if they return, Joseph will know what they have told their father. How will they present the case this time? Oh yes, when Joseph was absent, they presented a case, "Is this your son's coat?" And they made their father think Joseph had died by an animal. But what will they now say about Simeon? Because Simeon is now in prison in Egypt. And so when they go back to Egypt, or back to Canaan to their father, what will they say about Simeon? When they return home, what story will they say? Will they tell the truth? Or will they make up a lie? Joseph has given them an opportunity to tell the truth, not to bear false witness. Until this point, the brothers have been living a lie, bearing false witness. For 20 years, they've got away with the fact, "Dad believes this story. Say nothing." They lived under a false presentation of what took place that day that only they and Joseph knew, and also the Lord. We've learned by examining their actions regarding profit that they were covetousness for money. But also now, regarding presentation, it exposes their lying. They have broken God's law, not just on one account, but on every command. Again, Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Again, we see the sin of lying in the Garden of Eden. Remember bearing false witness and giving a false presentation of things. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, the Lord God commanded the man, that is Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day whereof thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Now we learn whenever the devil speaks to Eve, in Genesis 3 verse 4, he says, ye shall not surely die. And so that is a direct lie. God said, you eat this fruit, you partake of it, you will die. But now the devil comes and says, partake of it, for you will not die. And we learn as they partake of the fruit, as they desire it, sin comes in to the world. And when God comes seeking Adam and Eve, notice Adam's lie. Notice Adam's false witness. Know how Adam presents the case before God. God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 3 verse 11, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not? What does Adam do? He first accuses God for giving him the wife, and then he blames the wife for the one taking the fruit. Genesis 3 verse 12, the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she give me of the tree, and I did eat. Now we must remember this. The scene in Genesis chapter 3. Now I know whenever you read, or you read these picture books, you have Eve by herself with the devil and all the rest. That is not the case at all. All are present. The devil's there, Adam's there, and Eve is there. And so Adam blames Eve. And here's the interesting part. When Eve gives her response, she gives a good presentation of the facts. For she said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the word beguiled means to be deceived. But it's interesting to note under inspiration, when Paul speaks of this time in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. In other words, Adam watched Eve as she was tempted and took the forbidden fruit. But at no time did Adam stop or did Adam intervene. When Adam took the fruit, he chose to obey or disobey God's command. And therefore, while both certainly were guilty, but Adam was there all along. Adam should have stepped in. Adam should have said something. But Adam let Eve continue in this state, and she fell into sin. You see, both Adam and Eve were guilty of sin against God. But as Adam was the representative of man, he failed to honor God, and he failed to love his neighbor as himself, which was Eve. Adam, as all men, as the head of the home, failed as the prophet, priest, and king of the home. He failed as the prophet to teach Eve what God had forbidden and what God had commanded. As the priest, he failed to intercede for Eve and himself. As king, he failed to protect Eve from spiritual danger and to rule over his house. And there's much more we can say. But the point I'm making is this. Adam's presentation of the event was not a good one. It was a deceptive one because he blamed God and he blamed Eve. Furthermore, they tried to cover their own sin by making fig leaves. And so they begin to go further and deeper into sin. And so we see the whole picture. Adam blames Eve. And they blame the devil on different things. But notice how this impacts Joseph. Because 20 years previous, they presented to their father a lie that was not true. And now 20 years later, they still deny it, and they now blame one another. Again, verse 22, Reuben answered, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, but ye would not hear. Behold, his blood is required." You see, they began then to fight among one another. Reuben begins to say, I told you about this. And when they return to their father, what will they do? How will they explain Simeon's absence? Will they tell another lie? Will they make up another false presentation? Or will they just come straight and tell their dad the truth, what has happened? And scripture reveals from Genesis 42, verse 29, through Genesis 43, verse 7, they told their father the truth. What they confessed to Joseph, they then confessed to their father. They told him about Simeon. They told him about Benjamin and the Lord of the land. They told him all these things. Came to pass, their father said on to them, they came unto their father in the land of Canaan and told him all that befell them. The man protested unto us, saying, "Ye shall not see my face, except your younger brother be with you." The brothers knew the only way they would find provision, acceptance, and life in this famine was to come in obedience to the will and the word of the sovereign Lord of Egypt. And by this they give evidence to their confession. The Lord of the land, Joseph, give them now an opportunity to tell the truth, not to lie. And they told the truth. And what a picture we have in the gospel. A life that confesses Christ. Being delivered from this present evil age, the Lord makes a change in our behavior, in our walk, and in our talk. He gives us opportunity to tell the truth, to be a witness for him. He makes us new creatures in Christ. He gives us a new way of living, a new way of thinking. And all who follow him walk in the light as he is in the light. Just as Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church of Christ, when he was saved, later he was known as Paul, who preached the faith that he once destroyed. Only Christ can make a wonderful change in a life. An unsaved one today, Christ is able to change your life. He is able to save your soul. He's able to make you a new creature in Christ. He's able to do that work in your life that none other can do. And so Joseph, as he listens to their brethren, as he says, "I fear God," and as they confess, "We are guilty concerning our brother," and they make this confession, that confession is then examined, because as we said last time, anybody can say what they want in a time of trouble. Anyone can say what they want just to get out of hot water. And we see that all the time, don't we, about people asking Christ to save them. It's just to get them out of a quick situation. Or even believers just praying just because a hard time's coming. But then after that time has passed, they then stop to pray. So this confession is examined. We looked at the prophet, and they were not greedy men. They give the money back. Will they still, concerning present age, will they still lie? Will they still be deceptive men? Will they still try to twist things? No, they tell their father the truth. Simeon is in Egypt, and the Lord of the land has said, "Unless we bring our younger brother, we will not be accepted. We will not see his face, and we will not have these provisions." But notice finally, and very, very briefly, Joseph examines their confession regarding pride. It's clear that Joseph's brothers were filled with pride, self-interest, and self-centeredness. It was their pride that refused Joseph's position as given by the father. Whenever Jacob gave Joseph the coat of many colors, they hated it. They despised it. It should have been them that was given the coat. Whenever God gave that message to Joseph in the dream, that one day his brethren would stand before him, that one day they would bow and he would rule over them, pride just refused that message. He will not rule over us. And the Bible says they hated him yet the more. There was a hardness of heart against their brother. They only cared for themselves. They only cared what suited them. And because of that, they wanted Joseph gone. And they spent the rest of their days trying to find a way to get rid of Joseph. And so they made all these plans, as we learned earlier in the series. Plans to kill Joseph. And then that changed. And then they threw him in the pit. And then they sold him as a slave. And then they make their father think he was killed by a wild beast. Now, 20 years later, they make this confession for the first time. We are guilty concerning our brother. And by keeping Simeon in prison and sending the rest of their brothers back to Canaan, filling their sacks with corn and money, Joseph will examine their confession regarding pride. Are they still self-centered men? Do they still only care for themselves? In other words, how will they now treat Simeon? Because before, when they treated me, they didn't care about me. They mocked me, they slandered me, they threw me in the pit, they sold me. They didn't care about me. They cared about themselves, their pockets. They cared about everything else. But now Simeon is placed in prison. Will they care for him? Will they return for Simeon? Will they obey now the authority that's given? Because remember, Joseph gave a message from God that one day he would rule over them, but they rejected it. Now Joseph's given them a command that they must come to him with Benjamin. Are they still going to be men filled with pride? Well, we're not coming with Benjamin. I don't care what that man said. Will they still have this pride, self-centeredness in their hearts? Yeah, that will all be seen by how they return. And once again, Scripture gives the answer. The brothers put others before themselves. They put Simeon before themselves. They put the Lord of the land before themselves. Now, when they come back and they say this message, they tell their father what the Lord of the land has said. Jacob will not let Benjamin go because these are dodgy men. These are not good men. And he has this thought that Joseph has not returned. And if you take Benjamin, he will not return as well. He will not go with you. So instead of the brothers saying, well, that's fine, who cares then? They begin to put others before themselves. They begin then to put Simeon first. What do they say? Well, Reuben comes first. And what does he do? He then says, I tell you what, I will stand for Benjamin. Take two of my sons. And if I don't return with Benjamin, you can slay them. But Joseph refuses Reuben's offer because Jacob refuses Reuben's offer because Jacob will not slay his grandchildren. Then Judah, as you learn in chapter 43, as we will get to next time, he then offers, he makes an offer then for Benjamin's safety. And instead of Reuben, as what Reuben did, Reuben offered his sons, Judah offers himself. He puts himself in a sacrificial position. And he says, I will stand surety for Benjamin. I will bring him back to you safely. And if I don't, I will bear the blame forever. But I will be a surety for him. I will take full responsibility for him. I will bring him safely back. And the whole point it is, and well, again, we'll look at the type next time, and there's a wonderful picture there of the surety of the Lord Jesus Christ Christ is our surety. Christ offered himself on our behalf to take full responsibility for us, to bring us safely back to the Father, the sheep who had gone astray, and he will bring us safely home. And we'll look at that on another occasion. But these men, they put Simeon first. They now obey authority. And that's the change the gospel makes. You then put others first. It's not about you yourself. It's not me, myself, and I. You put others first. You then obey authority. You obey the word of God, the word of the sovereign. Again, remember Joseph. He would rule in the land and he would rule by his word. How does our greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, rule? He rules his people by the word. You see, these men are now no longer self-interested, self-pride men. They're men now concerned about their brother. And isn't that interesting, just in closing? Pride was the sin also that brought mankind. Pride was the sin that brought man, the fall of man. The devil said to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, "For ye know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And we learn from Isaiah that that was the devil. He wanted to be like the Most High. You can have the elevated position. And he begins to twist things. You can be as God. You can have the position by taking this fruit. You can be your own authority. You can rule with power. All the things the devil wanted to do. Just don't submit to God's word. Again, Exodus 20, verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We were not created to worship self. We were not created to worship one another. We were created to worship God and God alone. And therefore, to try and take the place or to worship self, that is the sin of pride. And believer, when you were lost in sin, pride dominated every area in your life. You put your way above God's way. Whenever the gospel was preached of Christ's only one way of salvation, you still held on to your own way, to your own inclinations, to your own thoughts, and you kept putting the gospel aside because you believed your way was the right way, the only way, and you had all these other things. But when the glorious gospel shone in our heart, and our sin was exposed, and the pride of our heart was challenged, we then came in humility and we asked the Lord for mercy. We surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. And now through Christ, we delight to obey his commandments. And now we have this desire that in all things, Christ will have the preeminence. While as believers, we still struggle with sin. We still battle with pride every day, yet through grace, it does not have dominion over us because Christ has given us power and enables us by the Spirit to live, as Paul said, in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Have the mind of Christ. That is impossible without the new birth. That is impossible without the grace of God. Without God's grace, we were filled with pride, full of self. But when the Lord makes that change, he enables us to live in lowliness. The gospel makes a great change in sinners. He makes the rebel a redeemed sinner. And therefore, unsaved one today, there's hope for you in the gospel. Because Christ died for the ungodly. Believer today, as your life is examined day by day, your confession is examined, it's regarding these areas. The area of profit, the area of presentation, the area of pride. And just as Joseph's brothers they were able to witness a good confession. So through grace, you're able to witness a good confession as well. And then enter into the blessings. Because as we will see, whenever these men return and they come with Benjamin, they enter into all good things. The land is given to them. Blessings are given to them. Provisions are given to them. And they are saved from the famine. And so what a mighty God we serve. And I trust this day that if you are saved by the grace of God, you'll continue to live out the gospel and enjoy the blessing of God. And if you're not saved, that you will come this day and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior for his name's sake. Amen.